The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
Imam al-Baqir, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh, is known. His name is actually Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn. Yet he is known as Baqir, Baqir al-Ilmi ba'da al-Nabi, or Baqir al-Ilmi al-Nabiyyin, the one who split the seed of knowledge after the Prophet, or split the seed of the knowledge of prophets. He opened it up. During his time, because of the work, the efforts of the Ahlul Bayt, because of the efforts of Imam al-Husayn, because of the efforts of Imam Zainul Abideen, and the efforts of Imam al-Baqir, they reached a point where Imam al-Baqir was able to have sessions that multiple people attended from the Muslim community. And not only that, they started a whole movement reviving the sciences, the knowledge, the understanding, the teachings, the sunnah of the Prophet. In other words, there's a wrong perception, a wrong understanding that is there in regards to Imam al-Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhima. We know, everybody knows, during that time, there's a lot of hadith. If you pick up books of hadith, most of the ahadith you're going to come across are either Qala al-Sadiq or Qala al-Baqir salamullah alayhima. So that means they had an opportunity where they were speaking more, and more people were writing down and listening to these imams. You will find their ahadith, at least as narrators of the hadith of the Holy Prophet, in books of those who didn't believe in those imams as being imams. You'll find it. They recorded their words, their sayings. Imam al-Sadiq and Imam al-Baqir, these two imams. This is something that's pretty well known. The mistake that is made, the wrong understanding that needs to be corrected, is that the way it's said is this way, that Imam al-Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq lived at a time that the Umayyads were weak and the Abbasids had not picked up, therefore they got an opportunity to express themselves. This is the common saying that we've heard. Even ulama mentioned this, non-ulama mentioned this, probably hearing it from ulama. It is clear to us that this is an inaccurate statement. What this suggests is that Imam Zainul Abidin was just sitting there. He didn't get the opportunity, he didn't say anything, he didn't do anything. Imam al-Baqir suddenly came across an opportunity like, oh, we're able to speak, now we're going to go and speak. Imam al-Sadiq continued that, and then afterwards, Imam al-Kadhim had a difficult time right from the beginning, therefore he stopped speaking, so they went quiet again. The rest of the imams did not speak out. It was an opportunity that was created. They had nothing to do with it. They were not involved in it. And they simply took advantage of the circumstances that were there. That is an inaccurate statement. The accurate picture of that period is that Imam al-Husayn's revolution affected the Umayyads. Imam Zain al-Abidin continued with the revolution of Imam al-Husayn. They worked against the system. They started training people. Imam Zain al-Abidin did. He started this process with all the difficulties that were there. The movement of reviving the knowledge of the Prophet, the tafsir of the Quran, the sunnah of the Prophet, the sayings of the Prophet, because you know that was something that was banned. They weren't. And with the direction that the Umayyads especially now were taking, it should have come to a point where what you have of the Prophet is only nonsense, a whole bunch of fabrications, a wrong depiction of that Prophet. It's not about us as Shia having the book Wasa'il al-Shia today, or prior to that, Al-Kafi in Man La Yahduruhu Al-Faqih, or Tahdhib Al-Ahkam, or Al-Istibsar, or the other books of hadith that we have. It's not about us having a Zurara as the student of Imam As-Sadiq and Imam Al-Baqir, Salamullah Alayhima, that gathered the sayings of Imam As-Sadiq and Imam Al-Baqir. The movement of recording the sayings of the Prophet, finding whatever's out there, filtering it. That means he filtered, and that's what he says. If you look at the terminology of scholars, Sunni scholars, they say this hadith is sahih according to the criteria of Muslim or the criteria of Bukhari. Based on their definition of what a sahih hadith is, this hadith is sahih, or that hadith is sahih, or this hadith is not. Who created this process in the Muslim Ummah for people to start studying what the Prophet has said, start filtering out Israeliyat, start filtering out what is not accurate? It's Imam Zain al-Abidin, Imam al-Baqir, Imam al-Sadiq, Salamullah, alayhim ajma'in. If you look at the students and those who were affected by this movement, there are multiple people that are affected by this movement. Some directly attending sessions, listening to Imam al-Baqir, or the students of Imam Zain al-Abidin. It started getting big. That wasn't there. There was another movement going on by the Umayyads. One that, especially after the Imams started this movement, the Umayyads tried to marginalize it, tried to hijack it, tried to deviate it. There's a student Imam Zain al-Abidin has, if I get his name fully accurately, Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. Okay. Al-Zuhri is a student of Imam Zain al-Abidin. Right. A student of Imam Zain al-Abidin, taught by Imam Zain al-Abidin, the sunnah of the Prophet, tafsir of the Quran, history, whatever, there's lots of stuff he learns. The Umayyads buy him. They employ him. Employ him to do what? To give out sayings of the Prophet, teachings of Islam, tafsir of the Quran, that would support the Umayyads. There's harsh words that Imam Zain al-Abidin has against Az-Zuhri after he went in that direction. Right? The Imam started a movement to bring the Ummah back to the teachings of the Prophet. The Umayyads started a different one. Let me not sidetrack too much. There's a different things that happened there. The primary thing, the most important thing that I'm focusing on here, is to suggest that it wasn't such that the imams just found this opportunity. They were sitting back at home, doing nothing, and they're like, okay, now we can speak. They're not going to kill us. You go and speak. That's not what Imam al-Baqir did. That's not who he was. That's not Imam Zain al-Abidin. That's not Imam al-Sadiq. That's not any of the imams. They created that opportunity by educating the masses, by getting the word of Allah out, explaining the verses of the Quran in so many different ways. Recite salawat, please. So, one of the things that we can take from this already up to this point is that the ability to get the word of Allah out, the tafsir of the Quran out, the sunnah of the Prophet out, was itself a struggle. Being able to express that was a struggle. Secondly, expressing the sunnah of the Prophet, explaining the tafsir of the Quran, was also a struggle itself. It was a jihad. When Imam al-Baqir would speak, when he would explain the Quran, this was a jihad. What does a jihad mean? It means that with those sessions, with the explanations of the Quran and the Sunnah, he is fighting the Umayyads.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Ali. حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.